Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 633. Today, we hear from Melissa, who asks,
keeping up energy. I, like most of us, have a full-time day job, commute, family, chores, somebody has to do the dishes, etc. I try to write at lunch, after work, but I want to be doing 2,000 words a day, and most days I'm struggling to break 1,500 or less. A lot of it is that exhaustion that hits when I get home. Any ideas on how to get that last 1,000? I mean, I don't even watch TV anymore, or do much of anything else. But I need to get my productivity back to where it was. Part of it is there is more to do with ads, marketing, editing, etc. But if I don't do the words, none of that matters. Thoughts?
Well, listen to yesterday's episode. That will help. The words, they can't always come first, but they have to come first, second, or third, at least. Because without new content, you don't have a active business. You have a passive business. You can still make a business work, but it's much easier if you're generating new stuff. So, yeah, really important to do that. Check out, like I said, yesterday's episode where I talk about carving out the mental space and the stress. Carving out time, that can be a lot more difficult. And a few days ago, I promised we'd be talking about what we've been through this year because it's relevant to this one. So this year and by this year I mean in the last 12 months, we released a book and it was a collection of my short stories that had all already been released. And that was it. At this point last year, 12 months ago now, I was just finishing up The Orenthal Deception, which hasn't made it out yet because of a lot of reasons, the most relevant being that I'm releasing all six of the series at once and what happened right after I finished completely screwed everything up. So, here's a little bit of backstory. 2 years ago, Kitty's dad got terminally sick, and that led us through a series of interesting reversals and decisions to becoming itinerant on purpose so that we could have more time supporting him, supporting her mother after she died, and we were intending then to go on the road and make a documentary about the changes in the publishing industry. That changed when we realized that the money we had on hand was almost enough to get some land to park our RV on so that we had a home base and it would be less expensive to work from a home base and to take excursions out in the RV to do the documentary and then come back and build our place out so that we would eventually have a house of our own. All of which was great, except that just as we were starting the process of buying a place, my parents got into serious trouble. And we had to pull up stakes, put the business on hold, and move 1,000 miles across the country in order to help them get their house sold, get their house remodeled so it would sell, so that they could retire safely, because they were in one of those situations where they're right on the edge where if they got the equity out of their house, they would have a retirement, and if they didn't, they would be in serious financial trouble. Then we moved them all the way across the country to the wild and woolly woods of the Northeast in New England, where we discovered that the house that they'd bought was in worse repair than the house that they'd just left. It had taken us 4 months to fix up the house that they'd just left for sale. So then we had to fix up this house to make sure that it was safe for them and that they wouldn't be in a money pit or have their lives in danger because of the harsh weather here. And that took another 4 months to do on this end. And then we looked around and we realized, well, we've got just enough to buy a place to land. We bought a place to land, and now we don't have enough to build our homestead, or indeed make it safe for the winter. So we had to stay here for the winter. And during this whole process, as soon as my parents got in trouble, the business stopped. It had to go on hold. We haven't made a dollar in all of that time up until we restarted the business. So we bled down all our savings to nothing. And all the while working for someone else for no pay, because that's what you do. It's what you have to do. Otherwise, family obligations aside, pure basic self-interest, if they are completely washed up, we're going to have to support them anyway. So, you know, you do what you have to do. That left us at really crazy loose ends, and we're scrambling to get back on top of things. But that's left, forget the stress, it's left no time for writing. And part of getting the business started back up is not just getting in touch with clients, booking work so that we can get money in, so that we can make bills before we are down to literally zero instead of just about zero, and to raise money to build our cabin on the other end so that we will be safe next winter, which will be, it's going to be a near thing, but we'll be blogging that experience so you guys can follow along. All of that has left no time to write, which is why I've started writing late at night when I can barely keep my eyes open. I go downstairs, I put on some Star Trek or some old film noir, something that relaxes me, makes me feel at home, because I don't feel at home up here. This isn't my coast, it's not my place. So I put on these things that make me feel at home. Trixie curls up next to me on the couch, which really helps, and I sit there with my laptop open, and as thoughts occur to me, I start to write. You know, I'm not producing like I want to, but I am producing, and it makes a huge difference. It makes everything else feel a lot more doable. And in fact, as that started going, the rest of the business has started breaking loose. Today, the day that we're recording, we published our first book in a long time. We did get some audiobooks released over the fall when we first started back up, but today we published our first book in a long time, and even has an audio promo, which sounds like this.
Well, hello, all you beautiful chicks and dudes of all sorts. This is Suave Rob Suarez, the bitchin' double X daredevil star of Suave Rob's Amazing Ass Saving Association, here with another ass saving tip, totally free from me to you, to help you save your ass so you can live to sit another day. Now, back in the day when dudes were dudes, this one dude, Benchmark Bob, buddy of mine, he had this little accident. He tried frying up an egg when he was totally hammered. So he washed a pan, then didn't dry it, then put a shitload of butter in it, then turned on the heat. Well, when you do that, chicks and dudes, the water makes the oil go splatso all over your own personal face. And good old Benchmark got his bench marked, if you know what I mean. Like, when he took his apron away from his face, it looked less like a face and more like someone had stepped on a pepperoni pizza. I don't like to think about it. But that goes to show you, you know? Always dry your pans before you put oil in them, man. Especially if you're frying an egg. Want to know where I learned all this gonzo shit? I got it all done up pretty for you in Suave Rob's Awesome Adventures by J. Daniel Sawyer. Come share the awesomeness with me, my brothers, because you never know. The ass you save may be your own.
That's right. I've been talking about it for a long time, and Suave Rob 3 is finally out. I don't know how many of you are even interested in it at all, but I'm sharing it as a moment of personal triumph because I'm returning to publishing fiction. First fiction book released in 10 months, and it's the first completely original fiction book I've released since Hadrian's Flight. It's been a long time. It's not the first fiction book I've written since then, but it's the first one that's finally been ready for release. So this is the start of what I hope is a major return to form. So as you pointed out in your email, it's not just finding the time. It's finding the time and the brain space at the same time, and that's the trick. When the rest of your house is quiet, that's a good time. If you can grab time in those pockets that you're talking about, that's fantastic. Making those last 1,000 words, that's the trick. There's a few ways to do that I've used from time to time, and one or more of them might work for you. One of them is one more paragraph. When I'm in the groove and I'm doing 4,000 words a day, the last 1,500 to 2,000 are all like, oh, I'm almost there. Okay, I can do one more paragraph. I can do one more page. And if I get stuck, it's I can do one more paragraph or one more page, but now I'm stuck, so I'll jump back and I'll read the last page and just put the next thing that comes into my mind down, even if it seems completely nuts. Usually, it's not. Usually, it'll work after it's on the page when it didn't work in my head, which is really weird and I don't understand it, but I've learned to trust it. last night I was sitting down, I got 700 words, and I was so dead I could barely keep my eyes open. And so I just read back over what I'd written, and I realized that I had a thought jump, and so I dropped in a couple of paragraphs to bridge the thought that had jumped because of my tired mind, and I got to the end and I dropped a few more paragraphs at the end, and I wound up with almost 1,000 words. When I quit, I thought I only had 700. Things like that really make a difference. Just the next goalpost. You won't go for the next goalpost. Also, the momentum. Drop back, read forward, find the momentum. The third one is invoking Chandler's rule. Chandler's rule. If you're stuck and you don't know what's coming next, big guys with guns come into the room. By the time you figure out why they're there, the story will be going again. You introduce a complication from out of the blue, and the fact that complication is there will open the story back up for you. If you have stories that you're writing where you're this exhausted all the time, you can wind up with some really twisty stories that way. I've done that a few times. You get insane stuff that way, but it can really, really work. And the last bit is to do a point of view shift. If you're writing a book that will support that, jump, end the chapter, start a new chapter from a different point of view, or just break the scene and jump to the other point of view in the scene. And working through the scene from that other point of view will also A, add words and progress the story, but B, it can also open up the story so that it's a little harder to get stuck. Those four tricks I found are really, really dependable. I don't think they're the only tricks out there. They're just the ones that I've found really reliable that I can remember right now. Any of you other people listening have a trick that I have not covered here that can really get you through the last 1,000 words of the day? Especially when your brain is tired and you're trying desperately to carve out time, do send it in and I will include it in a future episode. Thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.